My name's Lee, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, and so great to see guests or newcomers here, and it's a privilege to speak with you. Supposedly, we have 86,000 thoughts a day, and I think today I had 85,000 focused on what I was going to talk about, and I kept cleaning cupboards to just try to get some inspiration and clear my mind and stuff, and wrote down some stuff just a little bit ago. So hopefully it's like take what you like and leave the rest. And I kind of jump around a little bit. That's just the way my brain works. So anyway, the talk is generally about experience, strength, and hope. And also like what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So let's see. I define myself as a chronic relapser. I came into OA in 1983, I think it was, the first time, and stayed a number of years and got off sugar, which was my main trigger food. I was actually at a normal weight then. And kind of worked the steps of AA and lost a little weight. I wasn't overweight, but I did lose some weight. And part of what was going on at the time was, like, I don't feel any more peaceful, you know, cutting out the sugar than I did before. So I took it upon myself to just leave without checking with anybody except my therapist, who wasn't sure why I was in it in the first place. My plan was to eat maybe one sugar thing a week. And within 2 weeks, I was, you know, binging. Hi, Maria. Binging on sugar again. And I proceeded to put on like 40 pounds and stayed out of OA, trying different things, for about 7 years. Came back to OA 7 years later. Sometimes we hear in this program that it's kind of the last stop on the block. I mean, a lot of us try all kinds of things before we get in these rooms, and there's really no other place to go. So I came back, and I've pretty much stayed since then in OA. I want to go into some history a little bit first, and like a little bit about my eating history of growing up and stuff. My earliest memories about sugar started maybe at 3 years old. I snuck into my grandma's purse and took some chocolate X-lax out of it and ate a bunch of it, thinking it was candy, and poor grandma was just sick. She was so worried, and it was fine. I just said, oh, those candies were so good, Grandma. And luckily, I didn't have any, you know, physical side effects or anything. But I just remember always being kind of preoccupied with sweets. At age five, going around in our little neighborhood, asking people for stuff, getting punished for that. Trying to con my sister out of her desserts and stuff when I was probably just five or six. So manipulation started way back then. I made some popcorn once when the babysitter was outside with the other kids, and I was probably eight, and I burned our oilcloth tablecloth with the pan, and I'm thinking, back when I was recalling this today, you know, that certainly could have started a fire. But it was just this impulse to have something, some snack, quickly. Stole a neighbor's sack of candy. And then when I was confronted about it by him, like he had thrown it in the bushes and I stole it. And he came and asked, did I take it? And I said, no. So the point is, I was a liar and a cheat and a thief, and all before the age of 9 or 10. Throw in some manipulation there, too. I really didn't have any connection in terms of eating for comfort or feelings like, oh, I feel sad, so I'm going to eat. Or, I mean, I didn't put anything together about that at all. My weight remained is in a pretty normal range throughout childhood and teen years, because I think mostly because there wasn't a huge supply at home. There wasn't money to buy stuff of my own money to go out and purchase stuff and whatnot. But I started nursing school, a three-year nursing program at a hospital when I was like 17 or 18, and all the food was included in tuition. So I really ballooned up and put on probably 30 pounds or so, I think it was. So there's always been this kind of yo-yo over the years of, you know, kind of, I think maybe like a 60-pound weight range. Yeah, I remember once being asked to step on a scale to see if I was heavy enough to give blood even. So I don't remember, you know, specifically being anorexic or anything, but, and I haven't purged or anything, but overall I would say I've have a binge eating disorder. So one of the things that I want to get to a little bit about just recovery in general is kind of the ism of, you know, why we do the things we do, whether it's eating. I've actually been in four or five different 12-step programs. I'm in AA for the past 15 years. I've been in Spenders Anonymous. I have gone to CODA and Al-Anon. So it's kind of like the ism is not feeling adequate, not feeling like enough, maybe not accepting reality for what it is. And one of the things I'm aware of recently is, it's not just recent, but it's been a long-term thing, and that's, I call it FOMO, fear of missing out. And it's whether people are having more fun than I am or traveling more than I am. And all these things where I kind of get into these comparisons. And luckily there's a program to deal with some of that. There's a fellow in St. Paul where I'm from that he is a spiritual director at one of the treatment centers. And he recently talked about his mantra being, I have an unflinching dedication to reality. And I love that. I've tried to say that over and over again when I catch myself thinking that somebody should be responding differently than I would like them to and whatnot. The Big Book talks quite a bit about that whole thing, and they talk about us wanting to set the stage and be the director and have everybody be just so, but it doesn't come off right. And unfortunately, we, you know, everybody doesn't have the scripts that we have in our head for them. So anyway, that when I started putting together feelings and the connection of wanting to numb out from those, that was kind of it. Just like feeling either angry or sad or whatever, and that sugar would numb that out for me temporarily. So what kind of happened, it wasn't most recently, but a good 7 or 8 years ago, I had once again dropped out of OA. I was in a meeting that people would announce their abstinence every week, and that we had people with 40 years of abstinence, 20 years, all kinds of long-term recovery, and I got tired of saying, I've got 1 week, I've got 2 weeks, I've got, you know, whatever it was. So I ended up dropping out again. And again, it's not like I was doing all this, quote, hard work and expecting results. It was like the half measures that we hear about. Half measures avail us nothing. So anyway, I dropped out of OA again, and my weight ended up being at like an all-time high. I had a cholesterol of 280. And I went to my doctor, so it was like 7.5, 8 years ago. And I was just kind of desperate, and she referred me to a nutritionist. And luckily, that nutritionist knew a lot about OA, and she's one of us and whatnot. And so she started working with me with a food plan, and I started, you know, losing some weight and whatnot. And I also went to a food detox place that is, it's not OA approved, but it's based on the first three steps of the Big Book. So that was a 5-day program in the Twin Cities. And everything was weighed and measured in terms of our food. And it was great for me. And I ended up, you know, losing like 50 pounds and have kept that off for 7 years. We didn't have any sugar or flour or artificial sweeteners. And I stuck to that for a few years. And then I reintroduced flour. So my main abstinence is no sugar or artificial sweeteners, and anything fifth ingredient or above, I don't eat. When I was kind of thinking about this and reviewing it today, it was like I would love to just have all this hopeful message about myself, and yet I feel like, you know, there are, my abstinence isn't perfect. I've got some trigger foods that I'm kind of struggling, I'm just eating them, and don't have the willingness to give those up right now. So I just wanted to kind of own that and say that, and yet I'm pretty much maintaining my weight loss. And the other thing that kind of reminds me of that is that I guess the definition of OA, some of you guys would know this better than I, but I've just heard it recently, that OA has changed their definition of abstinence, and it's what, maintaining a healthy body weight, not an ideal body weight necessarily, but a healthy body weight. So I'm kind of glad to hear that. And so I think having prepared for this today, it was like a gift because I was able to stay abstinent from the crunchy stuff I was mentioning earlier, and it got me out of myself a little bit, other than ruminating about, is the church going to be open, and is there going to be someone to lead the meeting, and all that stuff. Charlie responded to my email about that, so thank you for that. And I am happy to answer any questions if people want. I don't know how. I'm finished.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jane.